My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh boy, lead down to two. Rough, rough road trip. And even rougher, you're going to listen to Jason Lloyd this morning. How you doing, Jason?
Wow.
It is great to have you on.
Jeez.
Who better to get pumped up about Cleveland sports than Jason Lloyd of
What's
the Athletic NBA? I couldn't wait to talk to you today. You got me hyped up before the show. It was just a cavalcade of big time hot take after hot take. I ran out of room on my paper to write them down, Jason, in our extensive prep work before the show. What's going on?
When we sat in silence for 12 minutes after I got here?
Well, it is a little different because Ken's not here. When Ken is here, there's a lot of bluster. There's a lot of do this, do that. Get me this, Mitch. But he's not here, so we just sat in silence. Was that okay, Mitch? Was that startling to you?
It did allow me to get some work done, which was helpful.
I mean, I could boss you around, Mitch. It'll make you feel better.
to make you feel like home? We did have Mitch chase down some big audio. Bill Simmons podcast. Pretty big podcast. There's some conversation there about Kevin Stefanski and Deshaun Watson. It led to a theory that I've been sitting on when it comes to Watson and the type of pressure that sometimes we think he has, but then again, judging by reaction, I'm not so sure he has. But we got to start out with the Guardians. They lost again. In fact, they only mustered one hit. It was a really, really ugly end to this road trip. They won that first game against the Yankees, in which they scored 6 runs in the 12th inning in the opener. But then the last two, what did they combine for 5 total hits against Cortez? And then yesterday, Gerrit Cole. It was really, really bleak. So much so that even Stephen Vogt admitted, finally, he's always been saying, we've been playing great baseball. Not so much now from Skipper.
I think it was just a tough week. We had a tough road trip offensively. We ran into some good pitching and also didn't have great at-bats at the same time. And every team's going to go through a little stretch like this. And for us, it was a tough week. We got to regroup, get back to being ourselves, get back to having really good at-bats because we're a very good offensive team. We've shown that the whole year. And one week isn't going to define this offense. So time to move on, regroup. We got Texas tomorrow.
Jason Lloyd, one week. Does it define this offense? Because based on the reaction I am seeing from a bunch of Guardians fans, they are out on this offense. And all the goodwill, the buffer that they had built in the division and in the American League seems to have been wiped out for a lot of fans.
Oh, they're still going to the playoffs. Like, this is a playoff team. Obviously, you want to win the division. Obviously. But this is a playoff team. They're going to go to the playoffs, and they're going to have a chance at the playoffs because of their bullpen. Now, do you want him to hit better? Of course you want him to hit more. And when, like, Kwan, Jose, and Naylor have to carry this thing, and when all three of them slump at the same time, they're going to have a really hard time scoring runs. And that's where they're at right now. You know, the thing with Stephen Vogt that is interesting, obviously they played really, really well at the start of the year. April, May, June, they got off to a fantastic start. Now he's got to manage. You know, he's a first-year manager, and now it's been choppy for the last month and a half or so. Maybe even a little bit longer than that. And he's going through it for the first time. And the one thing about Tito's teams was they were usually always playing their best baseball toward the end of the season, which is what you want. Well, they've got 6 weeks to figure that out, 5-6 weeks to figure that out and get back to that point and see if they can. But with this bullpen as good as it is, postseason baseball is different than regular season baseball. And if you've got relievers who can get outs, you're always going to give yourself a chance. So I'm not, I mean, they're a game out of the best record in baseball. Like, they are a game
out. Is that
out,
crazy?
In the American League. In the American League, yes.
They've been there the entire time.
So every team in the American League right now has issues or has holes. The Yankees lineup isn't great. It's Soto and Judge and seven other dudes. Like, every team has issues. Gerrit Cole was fine yesterday, and he's been better. He's not the same Gerrit Cole. So every team in the league can get got. I absolutely think the Guardians could still win a World Series because of the bullpen.
Boy, I have been in conversation with a lot of fans about that, and I asked a week ago, why are the Guardians fans just not that confident? In fact, normally when I think, what do we run the numbers? The Guardians were, this is the latest in the season that they had a Cleveland team had the best record in their sport. Now, this was last week, but it was the latest since the Cavs during LeBron.
Yeah.
Right? This is so rare. And you remember how we felt about those teams. And you remember how we feel anytime the Browns are above 500, how fans in this town feel about team and how they have a chance to do. I'm not feeling that with fans right now with this Guardians team.
Well, it is hard to watch sometimes. Like, the lineup is rough. It's rough. And I wish that they would have done more at the deadline. I get pitching. I get the prices and why maybe it was hard to do that. The one guy I really wanted before the deadline was Paul DeJong. Like, I thought you could drop him right into shortstop. He's going to give you better production than Rocchio. And not only do they not get him, he goes to Kansas City, and he's played well for them over since the deadline over the last couple of weeks. So you can look at that and say, I wish they would have done more with the lineup, and it's hard to watch. Like I said, when Kwan, Jose, and Naylor are all struggling at the same time, this team's going to have a really hard time scoring runs, and that's where they're at right now.
Are you nervous more about the hitting or the pitching?
The hitting.
I should say starting pitching.
Right. And like, the Gavin Williams thing is, like, sirens are going off right now for me, because the fact that he started the season as late as he did, you would hope that he'd be fresh and he would have time to sort of catch his rhythm. But it's just, I mean, he's been terrible in August. He's got an ERA over 7 in August. And the one thing you can't do in the playoffs is give up, like, 3-run home runs, because that's what's going to kill you. And obviously he did that against Milwaukee. I think gave up a home run yesterday. Yeah, gave up the home run yesterday. So it's the home runs, because in the playoffs, if you get 5 innings out of your starter, like, you take that and run. And I mean, in the regular season now, that's basically all you're getting out of these guys. But it has become such a bullpen game. If they can get to the 5th inning with the lead, they've got enough arms to close it out.
That's when you feel good about it.
Yeah. So really, really, like, the bullpen is the best reason that you can point to and say, this team, for all the flaws that they have, and they got flaws, they're still going to have a chance in October because of how good the bullpen is. They just have to score 2 or 3 runs and get to the bullpen. 4 runs and get to the bullpen.
All right, so still some optimism there. 216-474-0092. We also are getting, do we have a name yet for the app, the microphone function on the app, where anybody out there, anytime they pull up their Odyssey app, they can literally leave kind of like a voicemail, and it gets sent right to us, and then we've got at least 7 people at all times checking every single one of these and deciding which ones are fit for air.
I've never felt like 7 people before in my life, but we'll go.
I mean,
with
there's
that
only
number.
4 in here.
Mitch isn't
total.
Doing anything. It's all you.
Oh, Mitch is doing. Mitch does plenty.
So this is.
Let's not put another thing on Mitch.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. I know, because
Mitch is a hardworking boy.
We have Keith on these. We've got the boss. We've got management folks all making sure that we get the best content on here. But anybody, if they want to leave a message.
Yeah, all you got to do, download the Odyssey app, go to 92.3 The Fan. There's a little microphone. Click on it. You get to talk.
It's never been easier. All right, this is Zach Meisel yesterday on X.
I know him.
Yeah, on X. He says, on the 1-5 road trip, the Guardians had 57 innings at bat. The offensive breakdown is this. 5 innings with 1 run, 1 inning with 3 runs, 1 inning with 6 runs, 50 innings with 0 runs. 50 innings.
Yeah, it's bad.
On that road trip out of 57. So, lineup-wise, I mean, it's kind of been a running theme, with the exception of the first 2 months of the year. And I have the numbers of the last 65 games of all the teams in Major League Baseball, not to bore you, but it speaks to what you're talking about. This thing's wide open. this thing is wide open. I know the Astros have now, you know, been a different team, and you're wondering if they're going to be the Astros of really the last six-plus years, you know, come postseason. But, you know, the Yankees, the Guardians have a better record in the last 65 than the Yankees. They're 31-34. Meanwhile, you're 33-32.
Yeah.
Are you guys scared about any of this yet?
Scared? What do you mean?
Of them losing,
like missing the playoffs?
Yeah.
No.
I think they're still going to make the playoffs.
Well, I only get there because, like you just said, I've been checking this app. So the great thing about it is, in real time, you can weigh in, give your opinions, and we can get them in on this show. So yesterday during the game, we had a few submissions. This one stuck out to me, though. I want to play it.
Hey, so it's your boy Poe. I'm watching this Gardo's game, and Kwan led off the game with the hit, and we have not had a hit since. I'm not sure if it's time to get a little scared or not, but things aren't looking very good. Go Gardo's.
They've been so much fun throughout the early part of the year. Are you still having fun, Jason Lloyd?
No, it's not fun watching a team struggle to put the ball in play. No, that's not fun. It's August 20th. It's my anniversary.
How many?
16.
16, as Les Levine would say, consecutively?
Consecutively.
Congratulations on all your success.
Together for 20. Married for 16.
I just met my wife. Had two kids. Bought a house.
How's that going for you?
It's not going well. See you after the show.
Sarah. I just lost all train of thought. What were we talking about? Oh, is it fun to watch it right now? No.
Do you think it'll be fun again this year?
And that's kind of where I start with. Like, Terry figured out April and May are fun. August, September, and October are a whole lot more meaningful. And that's where Steven Vogt's got to manage a little bit now. And he's got to kind of navigate choppy waters. And he's going through it for the first time. But they've got to get back. That's like the thing that concerns you, obviously, is they're not playing their best baseball. But, you know, the beauty of baseball is we're 5 weeks from games that really, you know, the important postseason games again. So they got plenty of time to turn this around. They got two series coming up with the Royals back to back. Not like one in between, like six games with the Royals over the next, 3 weeks? Something like that. So they go out and play well in those games. Like, I was really concerned when, so the Twins sweep the doubleheader and it's down to game and a half. And you're like, uh-oh, here you go. And then they pulled it right back together. Steven gets thrown out of the game. They win the next two games that series. They build a little bit of lead back up. And they win, I think, four in a row or five in a row. And they start to get a little bit of a cushion. This is how it's been for the last month. But every time you think they're dead, they come right back. So, again, they're a game out from the best record in the American League. Like, it's okay.
Who's more important for them to turn this around offensively? Is it Kwan? Is it Ramirez? Is it Naylor? You brought up all three earlier. And, you know, we look at the bottom of the lineup, and nobody's scared of the bottom of your lineup.
Although, and that's not going to change.
There's a lot of teams where that's the case, but especially this team, especially when you look at the record. Like, I saw Yankees fans yesterday on social media going, how do the Guardians have this many wins?
Yeah, I know.
Like, they obviously were not blown away by what they saw in those games, and they probably like their chances in a playoff series against, I think, one of those Twitter accounts I think I was following was Mitch Spinell, who is a... a halftime Yankee fan.
You know what's funny about the lineup is all like the first 3-4 months when they were playing really well. If you looked at the advanced metrics, and I talked to Zach about this a couple times, and I talked about this on other places, that like the numbers don't match with what you're seeing, because if you look at like exit velo, launch angle, all this stuff, they weren't much different than last year. And it's like, well, how are they doing this? And the only thing that I could find, the only number that was different was pull percentage. And that's what the Rays do. Like, the Tampa Bay Rays just tell everyone, just pull it down the line. Hit as hard as you can, hit it down the line. And they've developed some pretty decent power hitters doing it that way. And there was a time, I haven't looked at the numbers lately, there was a time where the Guardians' pull percentage was way higher than what it was last year. But everything else was like relatively close to the numbers of last year. And it's like, well, how are they doing this? Well, the play on the field over the last 6-7 weeks has regressed to what the numbers indicated of exit velo, launch angle, and all that stuff. When, like, who's the most important? I still think this team goes as Hosey goes. It's always going to be Jose Ramirez for me. But all three of them are vitally important. And obviously they're all at the top of the lineup. If you can get anything at all at the bottom of the lineup, like, Stephen Kwan is like 30 RBIs because there's nobody ever on base when he comes up.
Well, and for so long, with the amount of platoons that this team has, a good team should never have as many platoons as this team had for so long, and seeing the carousel of guys at the bottom of that lineup, they found a way. Like they found a way. They scratched and clawed, and then they had guys hitting home runs. Then Noel comes in, and he's been a marvel when it comes to power.
He's been a marvel at chasing pitches 6 feet off the plate, too.
Which is going to be part of that experience, unfortunately. I mean, you want to compare bat-at-bats. I mean, let's talk about Josh Naylor. I mean, the amount of bat-at-bats that dude has had for a long time now.
It was funny. I just looked up Kwan just to make sure. He has 36 RBIs, and 13 of them are hitting himself in on home runs. Your leadoff batter has 23 RBIs this year, and it's not because he's bad. It's because the bottom of the lineup, nobody's ever on base.
Those are National League numbers from
1985.
Right, right. Yeah, you're not typically used to that. Guardians, just one hit. Yesterday against the Yankees, they fall to Gerrit Cole and the Bronx Bombers. Do you ever call them the Bronx Bombers, Jason Lloyd, who's in for Kenny today?
Never once in my life.
Mitch, that's one of your seven teams you root for?
Nine.
What do you call the New York Yankees?
What I call them?
Yeah. Like, the Bronx Bombers my whole life has been, like, second reference.
I mean, I just call them the Yankees.
You just call them your favorite team.
Backup team. Half-ass team.
So Jason Lloyd doesn't know anything about this.
No, nothing.
It's an introduction. We've gone over it to death. It's a very sad state of affairs. Another sad state of affairs. The lineup. One hit yesterday. And it has gotten ugly. How about Stephen Kwan down to 310? Like, I never thought he was going to hit 400 for the entire season. I know we had somebody chimed in and made some bold prediction that he was going to hit 400 after the first 2.5 months. Like, somebody nationally. He's down to 310.
You know he's never hit 300 in his career?
Well, he had a big sophomore slump season.
He hit like 298 as a rookie in 270-something last year. It's only his third year. But he's yet to hit 300. Hopefully he holds on this year and hits 300. Because, I mean, at the halfway point, you think he's hitting 330, 340 this year.
And a batting championship. Like you
that was in the bag at one point.
It seemed like he just needed to qualify. He just needed enough bats.
Right.
At bats. And obviously, it's gotten worse and worse and worse. Seems like the book is out right now on these guys. Either that or they're just all slumping at the wrong time. But it seems like a long slump now.
Yeah, I mean, the offense, this team's going to struggle to score runs, but the bullpen will keep them in it.
Now, Gavin Williams went 4 to 3 yesterday, gave up 4 hits, 3 earned runs, did strike out 5. Did you have a problem with when he got yanked yesterday? I saw some people, in fact, immediate Twitter reaction, X reaction is always brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I mean, we had people ready to go tagging the show, saying, this is a vote mistake. Should have stuck with him. I mean, he was at 98 pitches when he got rid of him. Nick on the afternoon show yesterday had a big conversation about whether Vogt needs to trust his starting pitchers more, which is a tough thing now because the bullpen had been so dominant. They had been like all-time great. So you could understand why Vogt was always ready to make the move.
I just pulled it up real quick. Gavin Williams has thrown over 100 pitches just once. Obviously, he had what was supposed to be a two-week injury, and he didn't make his debut until July. But he's thrown over 100 pitches just once this year. I'm not surprised they pulled him when they pulled him. He wasn't pitching great, and he was at 98 pitches.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Where's the controversy?
I think there's been lately, and I've noticed this now that they have been basically a 500 team for a very, very long portion of the season, is that Vogt just has not been able to dial it up as perfect as he had. I mean, it seemed like everything he touched for a long time this year was working. I couldn't believe it. Every time we came in, we're like, give him manager of the year now. Like, yeah. The thing is wrapped up. And we were having conversations. Now, I did call them silly at the time. I thought it was a lot of overreaction, but vote better than Tito. Like, we got a lot of those, and I'm like, guys, it is a long season. And you need a number of good seasons.
One guy's going to the Hall of Fame. The other's been doing this for 3 months.
Yeah, obviously it was like the flavor of the month, and it was new, and they were more aggressive. Because I remember every single day it was a new topic about, I mean, these guys are more aggressive. Look at them on the bases. No bunting. He's dialing up the bullpen precisely how you'd want it, like early on in the year. Everything he's touching is turning to gold. But you knew that wasn't all going to last. It wasn't all going to go swimmingly well.
Right. And, you know, the biggest job of the manager is managing the bullpen, figuring out the bullpen. And then sort of another huge role is figuring out how to keep guys together when it gets hard. And right now they're in it. They're for sure in it. But no one's running away with this thing. The American League is wide open. And this is the most, like, the Yankees are not the Yankees of 10 and 15 years ago. They've got holes. I really like Baltimore. I think Baltimore is really, really good. But they can be got. There's nobody in the American League that I look at and say the Guardians can't beat them in a series. It doesn't exist.
So obviously it would go a long way if you get big-time starts out of Gavin Williams. Yesterday got roughed up a little bit to start that game. I make it really the fourth inning they got to him. And then in the fifth is when it really, really went south. Here's Gavin Williams on the type of season he's having.
I mean, the whole year has been a roller coaster to me. I've had good days, I've had bad days, and recently it's been a lot of bad days.
But you can tell, a bunch of guys on this team right now are all looking for fixes. And Gavin, it's been a really, really tough situation altogether for where he had to come in. And you think about this rotation and what you were thinking at the beginning of the year, Tristan McKenzie, Logan Allen, Bieber, and now what they are now. Like, this is not an ideal scenario.
The Williams piece is, that's really alarming because of how much they need him and what they're counting on for him. You know, I kind of assumed he was going to be their number two starter going to the playoffs behind Bibee, and he just, whether it was the late start to the year, the arm injuries he had early on, this has not been obviously the season that you expected to have out of him. That's what happens when you don't start your season until July 3rd. Now, there's still time. It's the beauty of baseball. There's always another game, and there's always more time. And he's going to have at least another 5 or 6 starts or so before the playoffs to figure this out and turn it around. And we'll see if he can do it.
All right, Deshaun Watson, a full participant at practice yesterday. So that was some good news after the general arm soreness shut him down the day before. So he was a full participant. Didn't really get much clarity yet on the plan of attack when it comes to him and Jameis Winston for tomorrow night's game, which you can catch right here in Seattle. Ken Carmen will be on the sidelines as well. He is in transit as we speak. You'll catch all of that right here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. Here's Kevin Stefanski yesterday on the Coach's Show, as heard right here on 92.3 The Fan, on deciding who plays and who sits tomorrow.
You know, we look at this as the preseason, as it's all-encompassing. It's practice, it's walkthroughs, it's the games themselves. What do our guys need for a 17-game season? And maybe more if you earn more is kind of the way we look at it. So some need more than others. Some don't need to play. That's kind of how we look at it up and down the roster. So we make decisions really case by case on each guy and take everything into account.
Do you care, Jason Lloyd, who plays and who doesn't in the final preseason game for the Cleveland Browns?
I mean, overwhelmingly, no. There's specific guys I think should play. I think Deshaun should play. I think it's dangerous to go into the Dallas game without him having thrown a pass in any sort of game setting. Like, I think he should play. I don't think he's going to. I think he should.
I don't think he is either. Now at this point, this has been the source of basically every conversation anybody who does this for a living has been having.
Yeah.
I think a lot of fans are having it too. I got to say, from most fans, I know we've got some outspoken people on the app, and we've had some calls about Watson needs to play. Most people I talk to don't seem to care all that much. Like, they don't think it matters. Like,
they probably wouldn't care at all if they wouldn't have come out, if Kevin wouldn't have said last week that he's going to play in Seattle.
I do think that
just shouldn't have said it.
I do think that got people wondering about, is there something going on with his arm, with his shoulder? Like, you know what's interesting? I think Owen is right. Had he never have said, never even opened up the door, even a sliver on the opportunity of him to play, I think now fans are like, well, you said he was going to play, but now is there a setback?
Even had he never said anything, I think you would still look at this and go, this guy hasn't thrown a pass since November. You're not going to play him at all? Really? I think it's curious. I think, is it going to make a massive difference one way or the other? I don't know. But the fact that he's coming off the injury that he has with no real track record of prior history with quarterbacks doing this, you'd like to see him throw a few passes before you get into Dallas and Micah Parsons. But that's just me.
Maybe take a few hits as well.
I mean, he does. He does need to get hit at some point. But you also don't want to expose him to unnecessary hits in a preseason game. I get that.
All right, we'll get into this a little more. 216-474-0092. Are you with Jason on this? That, yeah, you'd like to see Deshaun Watson. Did they set the expectations up when Stefanski said earlier in the week he was going to play? At least that was the plan. Of course, originally that was news to Deshaun Watson. We've got Daryl Ryder coming up on the show. First time all week. That's later at 9 o'clock. Don't forget, it's always game day in Cleveland. Before the season kicks off against Dallas in September, you'll need all the insight all month long from Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin during the podcast. It's always game day in Cleveland. You can subscribe to the podcast now, 92.3thefan.com, on the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio Premier's heating and cooling solution. Anthony Lima and Jason Lloyd is in on the eve of their big showdown final preseason game in Seattle. It's been a really contentious over the last few weeks. Should Deshaun Watson play? Contentious, I say, with hosts and some fans. Some people just don't care. Some people have gotten to the point, especially with preseason games like we had last week after the dual practice that you had with the Minnesota Vikings, and you're seeing this all around the NFL as teams prioritize those. They deprioritize their actual preseason games.
Right.
Jason, I did say, and I know this isn't necessarily something we're going to be talking about, so we'll get to Stefanski and also some crazy audio about him being on the hot seat, two-time coach of the year. I can't remember a time where it felt like preseason was this broken as it is right now. Like, so much so that I wonder if they will be fixing it.
Broken across the league?
Yes.
Because there's still teams who play their guys.
I know. Well, it's actually,
I think this is a Cleveland perspective.
Yeah, maybe, because Patrick Mahomes played in two of these games. Yeah. Joe Burrow's played, even coming off his surgery.
Do you think the Bears think preseason is broken? They're getting to see Caleb Williams the whole preseason.
And maybe not the Broncos are loving what they're seeing out of Bo Nix. I just mean in general that, man, the fans just seem Like here, yeah, you're right. Maybe I'm in the bubble. Maybe you're absolutely right. People I talked to, like I was out at the feast. I was finally out and about talking to people, and they did not want to talk about preseason. They weren't even DVRing the games. And I know we air the games here. We want you to listen. And maybe Deshaun Watson plays tomorrow night. Maybe a lot of the first team offense guys play tomorrow night. But just in terms of fan reaction, it seems broken.
Well, because the guys aren't playing. If Deshaun was out there, if Myles Garrett was out there, if, I don't know if anyone's tuning in to see the left guard, but if Petonio, like if the veterans were out there playing, fans would probably be watching the games. And I don't know, I think it's a case-by-case basis in terms of the players and who should play and who shouldn't. But Kevin's philosophy overall very clearly is don't play these guys very much. And I don't know that there's a right or a wrong answer to that philosophy. It's just different. It's a differing view. It doesn't mean Andy Reid's right and Kevin Stefanski's wrong, or Kevin's right and Andy's wrong. It's just the way that they go about building their teams and getting ready for the season. Like Denzel Ward, I don't think should ever play in a preseason game. Ever. Never. There's no reason. Myles Garrett probably should not play in a game. Deshaun Watson, I think, should play in a game given what he's coming off. So that's why I say it's a case-by-case, player-by-player of who should play and who shouldn't. But Kevin's philosophy, he's been here long enough. It's pretty clear he doesn't like playing a lot of guys in the preseason.
And we still don't know specifically. If we get any updates throughout the day, obviously, we'll let you know to get you ready for tomorrow night's game, which you can catch right here on 92.3 The Fan. I thought this was incredible, incredible audio. Kyle Brandt is on the NFL Network. He was on the Bill Simmons pod yesterday with The Ringer. Had this to say when talking about the coaches who are on the hot seat. Kevin Stefanski?
This guy has won Coach of the Year twice. Last year, he and Joe Flacco went on this Disney movie run to the playoffs, and it was a really cool story. There is a complete and utter enigma with Kevin Stefanski's quarterback, Deshaun Watson. He has not played a good, solid season in 4 years. His last season that he played was good and healthy was the COVID year, and there was real discussion at the end of last season about the Browns have found something with Flacco. This works. They respond to him. His chemistry with Stefanski is amazing. Flacco is now gone, and it's like, all right, Deshaun Watson, and this 5 years waiting for it. We talk about the AFC North, Bill. It's like, all right, Lamar's the MVP. We're talking more about Russell Wilson and Justin Fields than Deshaun Watson, and then Burrow is Burrow. So it's like, the Browns need to win a playoff game this year. They should. They were in one last year and got killed.
He showed up with a kind of the attitude to begin with.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, for why? They spent everything to get him. He's hugely paid. He hasn't accomplished anything since some of these guys were even in the league. And it's like, if they mess up in that division, like you could look at 6-11 really, really fast.
All right, that was from The Ringer. I do not think Kevin Stefanski's on the hot seat at all.
I don't disagree with much of what he said, but how do you correlate that to the coaches getting fired when he just signed an extension?
I think the only thing I can think
of... At no point did he give one reason why Kevin should be fired.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is that if one's got to go, they think it's not going to be the player that signed the 200 and whatever million dollar contract.
Well, I get that, but at the same time, they just doubled down on the coach because they, like everyone else, saw what he was able to do with the roster that was shredded with injuries, at least on the offensive side. And they see a coach who's won with a whole lot of different quarterbacks with a whole lot of different skill sets that have a whole lot less talent than Deshaun. So if it doesn't work, is it really Kevin that's the problem?
I think it's very interesting. They overhauled the offense. They got rid of the offensive coordinator. It's not something typically playoff teams do, especially when that offense, while like analytics don't think that offense was anything all that special with Flacco, you did see some of the ceiling elements. You saw big plays. Yeah. You saw big plays that hadn't really been there under Watson that all of a sudden were there under Flacco. And then at the end of the year, what to me is so intriguing is they said, well, we've got to scrap that offense. We've got to find something that works for this quarterback this year. As far as pressure, like I do find, again, there's, I don't know what it is about Deshaun Watson that, like, when you listen to national guys talk about all these different quarterbacks, obviously Dak Prescott comes up constantly, right? I hear a lot of chatter about Kirk Cousins over the last few years, and whether or not he's a reliable guy. Of course, he ends up getting another contract. Aaron Rodgers, spotlight is going to be on him. Trevor Lawrence, I'm hearing more and more about the pressure going into this year. I don't even hear Deshaun Watson's name brought up, for good or for bad. I don't even hear his name brought up. He's like the least talked about quarterback nowadays.
He's been irrelevant for years.
And that is so interesting to me because I don't even hear it as pressure. Is it because He's here for 5 years. It's a guaranteed contract. They're not moving on from him. At least people don't think that the Browns are going to move off of him. Not the same way that Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos moved off of him after that huge swing they took.
Yeah.
I find that very bizarre.
Because he hasn't played. How much has he played the last 3 years? That's why.
12 games.
That's why.
Technically 11.
He's irrelevant. Nationally, yeah, but not locally, obviously. He's irrelevant.
If Dak Prescott had only played in 12 games and he was the starter going into season, I mean, it would be one of the biggest. When are the Dallas Cowboys going to get off of Dak Prescott?
Well, it's the Cowboys. Everybody talks about the Cowboys.
All right, Aaron Rodgers didn't play last year.
Yeah.
And there is a ton of conversation about Aaron Rodgers and what's happening with the Jets.
And when Deshaun first played for the Browns, I think there was a lot of conversation around him, but that was a while ago. Like, if Aaron Rodgers plays in three games this year and gets hurt and then tries to come back next year at 49, 50, 51, you know, I'm joking, but not really. I don't know if people are going to be talking about him as much, but it's the amount of time that has passed since Deshaun has been relevant. That's why nationally, nobody even notices. Nobody even remembers that he's here, really.
There's so many of these lists that have come out, whether it's the quarterback tiers or whatever, and I'll check on these pods to see if there is reaction. Is there something we can play for Cleveland? Is there something that can start a conversation? And his name just doesn't get brought up. It's crazy that somebody who was as much of a phenom that came into the league, the incredible start to his career, we talk all the time about it, was him and Patrick Mahomes. Like that was the elite level list, you know, a few years ago.
Yep.
And again, just an afterthought every single time.
Well, don't you think, though, it's the third year of him missing a huge chunk or the whole portion of the season, right? It's kind of same old from the people outside of Cleveland going, oh, that guy's not around again. How is he not relevant? They've been totally different reasons. I don't know that anybody wants to bring up the reasons why he missed the first time, but to people that don't pay attention to the Browns every day, I think they just see, yeah, Deshaun missed a ton of time again. Straight year.
I mentioned this when I was in with you before, but had Deshaun gone to New Orleans or Carolina, would Cleveland ever give him another thought? No. Because he hasn't been on the field. He hasn't played. If he's one way or the other, like good or bad,
well,
he hasn't
been
out
there.
Give him
one thought in Cleveland, and it'd be, wow, we dodged a bullet there.
Oh, for sure.
Well, also the way
absolutely.
The way he's talked about is just a quarterback that's not good. Like, we obviously don't think that, or I can't speak for everybody, but I got to think some of the old Deshaun Watson is in there, because if I didn't think that, I would think this whole thing is doomed.
It's in there. The old Deshaun is in there for sure. It's just a matter of, can you get to it 14 times in a 17 game season? I don't know. But it's there.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.